Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a show full of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. And now here is your host, Nicola Beer, who specializes in a proven 10-step program to help couples increase their love, passion, and happiness in their marriage in 30 days or less, guaranteed.
Hi and welcome. This is the Nicola Beer Show, and I'm delighted to introduce my co-host, Eddie Skerritt. And we're going to be sharing some important things about topics that really impact relationships. So we're going to be sharing today about how negative thinking and a negative mindset can actually destroy a relationship. It's really important because it's one of those silent relationship killers where you're not really sure until it's too late, the damage of that impact. So with our minds, we can create abundance, we can create prosperity, we can create love, and we can also have the opposite effect. And so if you're struggling in your relationship right now, one thing that you may want to consider to see if it, to improve things, is really looking at your own mindset. And with me, Edward has his own background. I mean, my background is in focusing on helping people to save their relationships, to get through difficult patches in a marriage. And Edward has a different perspective. So Edward, could you describe to us a bit about how you help people in their relationships and in find relationships?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Nicola, for the introduction. And it's very interesting that we're doing this together. As we sort of discussed earlier, you having the in marriage or in committed relationship experience with couples, and myself doing the pre-commitment. So I'm really looking at getting people to a point where not only are they finding people that are ready to commit to them, but also that they're internally ready to commit in their own life. So they've got themselves to a point where they can actually find and keep a committed quality partner. So that's what I train people. I've got a great little course that I'm starting up next year. So some of these issues that we look at, they're just really so relevant, the ones we put together to chat about today, because it can almost be, in the experience I'm having with a lot of the customers that come to me, a lot of the clients, they've got these difficulties once they've got into their relationship. And some of that stuff is just not being ready. They weren't probably ready when they went in. I mean, a lot of us sleepwalk through our relationships, or we sleepwalk in them, or we sleepwalk into one. So we're not even really partner selecting. We're not even ready to get into it to start with. We're not personally ready. We don't have the personal development. We haven't really got to a level where we're going to be a good partner. And then we're trying to expect someone else to almost pick up our bits. And that's where things, I think, can often fall apart. So, yeah, I'm really interested in getting into these topics and hearing your perspective on them.
Sure. So I think, you know, one of the first things that people do in relationships when the thought patterns that don't really help them, and I think this can be in any area of life, is comparing. Comparing ourselves to how the relationship used to be, comparing ourselves to other people's wives, other people's husbands, to comparing our lives to what other people have. And rather than focusing on what you have in the relationship, it's really looking at the relationship in terms of lacking. What's missing? Why aren't I having this? And this reinforcement of what's missing, what's wrong, can really lead to a divorce, because if you're constantly asking yourself those questions, if you're constantly thinking that, you're going to turn off your partner, and you're also going to open up lots of different reasons why the relationship might not be working. Because if you're constantly asking these questions, as we know, the unconscious mind will always answer us. If we're saying what's wrong, it will come up with a list of reasons of what's wrong. I had someone last week who wasn't having the kind of intimacy that he wanted in his relationship, for example, and he kept saying to himself, what's wrong? Why aren't I attracted to my wife? And he had been stuck for months and his mind had come up with 100 different reasons, and I'm not exaggerating, but literally so many different reasons of why he's not attracted to his wife. So now he finds that his intimacy is even more affected, and it's becoming a problem. And if he had said, what am I attracted to in my wife, and he would focused on all the things that he was attracted to her at the beginning, and her personality, and now in her physique, then he could have had a lot of different experience with his intimacy. So that's just one thing that I think comparing is negative. I'd love to hear your perspective and how that plays out for you in your relationship coaching that you do.
Yeah, look, I mean, what we're really talking about here is alternatives, right? So this client of yours, he's sitting there and he's going, well, I'm not that attracted to my wife anymore. If, let's say, imagine this. Imagine he was the only person on the world, right? And his wife was the only, sorry, he's the only guy in the world. His wife's the only woman left on the world. Like the expression, right? I wouldn't even date you if you're the last person on the world. Well, okay, what that means is there's no alternative, right? So, it's interesting because there's really like three reasons that people can't commit, right? And the first one is that they have better alternatives, right? So he's looking at her in a comparative way. And in our culture, we have this problem because we're constantly fed a constant stream of images of really attractive people, especially for men. Okay, if you look at men's dynamics of what they're like looking for in a relationship, of course, attraction is a huge part of that. It's a very strict sort of logical male thought pattern with that. And of course, attraction is important for women, but what they find attractive is different. And you can't convey that as easily through media, right? So for men, they've got this constant bombardment of perfect 10 type Victoria's Secret models everywhere you go. It's advertising. It's, even if you're not seeking it out, you're going to see that stuff all the time, right? Yeah. So when he's talking about attraction, what he's really saying is he's sort of saying, well, I don't feel my wife is comparatively attractive. Because if he'd never seen a woman before in his life and his wife came along, she would be the most attractive woman he'd ever seen. Or if he'd seen a whole range of women with, you know, which were covered up head to toe, and then he saw his wife as she was, she would be the most attractive thing. So what we're really talking about when we look at people who are like, oh, I don't really find my spouse attractive or anymore. Yes, of course, when we first start going out, we've got that spark and we've got that real like, oh yeah, you just do anything for them. And yes, of course, that slowly dissipates over the course of a relationship, which can lead us to have less of that romantic attraction. But for couples that are long-term and have that lifelong passion for each other, right, and don't seek out alternatives, they still find each other attractive because the attraction is not up here anymore. It's in here, right? Mm. So what I would say for that guy is I would be looking at, okay, well, in comparison to what? In comparison to what is your wife not attractive? Because I look at my partner, and I've also had long, like my partner now who I've just got engaged to, which is quite ironic as a relationship. But I look at the long-term relationships that I've been in, right? 5 years, 10 years. So long, long relationships. And the attraction never really went for those reasons. It didn't go because I got bored of the partner, right? The attraction left because of internal, personal, interpersonal reasons, right? So the exact nature of the physical attraction is not as relevant. I mean, I could look at my partner now, and I've said this to her, I've said this to her openly, I can look at you and I can imagine what you would look like as an old woman, right? And she would have long gray, straight hair, wrinkles. I mean, she's half Asian, half Iraqi. So I know what she would look like. And I can picture it in my mind. She would still be attractive. She would still be like in my mind, a perfect 10, because at that point in time, she'd be the mother of my children. We will have built a life together. We'll have had intimate moments and have worked through things together. So if your focus is just on the physical, there is no way for anyone that you're going to have a lasting relationship. So you've got to understand what permanent and lasting attraction is really about. And as far as the intimacy stuff, if he's saying, look, we're not really having that sex that we want anymore, or intimate moments, or from an attraction perspective. I would also be looking at what's the wife's role in this? Is she not responding to him? Is he not putting it out to her? How are those interactions going as well? Because there's got to be more to that sort of story as far as the bedroom stuff. But just based on the pure physical stuff, our attraction is not just made up of physical. Our attraction is made up of mental factors and the physical combined, right?
Yeah.
In fact, that's part of what my course is about. Is my course is the physical stuff, the perfect 10, finding someone who's like on a level that you're like, wow, sexy, whatever. But if you're already in a relationship, you already found them sexy. You already found them attractive in that pure physical sort of sense. So you've got to say, well, once you've got to know someone, the mystery is gone. Because mystery, we always, when we're attracted to someone, we say, well, the mystery is the best stuff that I'm not seeing. But once that mystery is gone and we do know the other stuff, well, then if you're not attracted to it, it must be because your partner or yourself are not on a level of personal development where you're like, wow, they're growing, they're strong, we're on our path together, we're doing it together. And that will create more sexual attraction because it is part of the overall attraction mix. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I don't know, like for me, that's just very much how it works for me.
Yeah, it does make great sense. And I think we've hit a really hot topic here, so I think we should continue with this attraction, because a lot of people will say to me, I've lost attraction with my wife, I've lost attraction with my husband, is the relationship over? And they might be thinking that it's physical, as you say, but it's definitely got this mental element. And there could be things that they're doing that are destroying that connection. And what most people don't really realize, or they don't really think about, is I don't believe that, you know, the sex goes bad and then the relationship suffers. People say, well, let's just have sex and then that will create a better relationship. Actually, it's the relationship breaking down, that intimacy breaking down, the emotional trust, the emotional, the mental side of the relationship that goes first, and then the physical follows. So if you want to have a great intimacy, a better sex life, then you need to really focus on what are they doing that is perhaps destroying the love, and how can you create more moments? So rather than focusing on the negative, how can you create more moments that you had at the beginning? What activities can you do together? What engaging conversations can you have? I'm sure that's similar advice that you give. I mean, how can someone know who to commit to? Do they need to have a good sex life to be able to commit? Because I sometimes hear lots of people say, well, when we got together, the sex was bad, but they ticked all the boxes in terms of who I should be committing to. And I'd just like to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things in that, I guess. Can people be bad at sex? I didn't realize that, right? Because if you're saying someone else is bad at sex, right? That means there's a couple of things that could be happening, right? You're sitting there and you're going, yep, that's it. You go and I'll receive, right? So in this sense, the person that is bad at sex in that sense is actually you, right? If you're saying that. But then the other one is, if you're looking at someone and you're going, and of course for women, that, you know, as you have to open up to sexuality, yeah, that can be part of it. And so then you would look at the partner. Okay, so if you're not putting anything in, right, you can direct it in some way. And that doesn't mean not being feminine and being, you know, controlled within that sense, right? But it does mean, you know, you can direct and you can talk about it and say, I love it when you do this. I love you when you do that. But for the guys, they have to take control. And if they're just not taking control within the bedroom, I really don't know how, for a guy, he could say, oh, the girl's not good at sex, right? Unless she's refusing to have sex, right? Well, they got some weird fetish that, you know, nothing's weird, but, you know, that's probably, you know, they might just, I'm just not into that, whatever. But really, if you're taking control in the bedroom, what makes good sex and what makes passionate sex is the intimate connection. And that has nothing to do with the physicality, right? Mm-hmm. We've got to understand that for men who say, oh, I want just to have sex once a day, bang, get in, out, it's good, it's fast, I get, you know, I get off, that's great. Or for women who are saying, oh no, my husband, like, the sex is always boring because it's just quick or it's like a 2 minute thing. That's the common complaint people say. They say, oh look, there's no passion in our sex life. It's just a bang thing and my husband's already into me anymore. And it's counterintuitive because it's guys just want to finish, right? That is what the good part intuitively for the masculine is just to end game, bang, I'm done. Oh, that was awesome, right? But for women, women want foreplay, right? Why do women always yearn for foreplay? Women yearn for foreplay because they want the experience, right? So this is not dirty sex talk or anything. Mm. It's about what does that intimacy mean for people, right? So women want foreplay because it is the experience of the whole thing. And getting off at the end or not, although it is like awesome and it obviously makes it great and gives that ecstasy, is not the be-all and end. I don't know if you would agree with that. It's not the be-all and end-all of sexuality for women.
Right? Yeah, I do agree. And, you know, like they say is that men don't need to have a reason for sex. But for women, a lot of women, they do need a reason. They need to feel, they want to feel more desired. They want to feel more connected. They want to have exactly. that bond and have, you know, make, you know, have that special union with their partner. Whereas for men, often they don't really need a reason. And I think that's, you know, one of the differences. Yes. It's something that couples really need to work out and to manage.
Yeah, and exactly like you said, women want to have those reasons, the bond, the experience, you know. Women want the experience of sex. So for guys, it is up to the guy to give them that experience, right? And in return, the guy gets to finish. The guy gets what he wants as well. So it is a trade-off, but if you're looking at it as purely a trade-off, then you're going to lose as well, right? So I've been in relationships that have this where one partner, and it's not always a guy, by the way, this is why in some, well, we could get right into this. Do we want to get right into that, this sort of stuff? But even for guys, girls, right?
Yeah.
If you are addicted to just end game, right? One of things happen for both guys and girls, right? Guys end up self-pleasuring too much, right? And then they can never really get intimate because usually it involves porn. And what happens is it's like porn is essentially like cocaine to the sexual mind. Mm. So you too much of that, and then coffee can never get you off anymore, which is normal sexual activity, right? And for women, if they're using tools to get off, right, then what happens is the intensity has to be increased to a point where no man will ever get them off, right?
Yeah.
So this is my number one. First thing, if you've got problems in that area within your long-term relationship, no, it's what they call fapping. So no porn, masturbation or orgasm when you're not with your partner, right? For either couple, for either side, right? So what happens when that happens? Okay, men, suddenly their brain goes into a totally different pattern. And that pattern is seeking out that intimacy and they will do anything for it. They will step over their own mother for it, right? And what that does is it then motivates them to do more for the woman, right? So then you have to have a conversation. So second thing, you have to have a conversation about what does a good experience look like for the woman, right? And this is all about reading a book on it, right? But in my experience, a good experience starts with long, prolonged foreplay and then go into the experience of sex that goes for a while. And you've got to do the fun stuff. Candles, music, low light. If you don't find your partner attractive in those circumstances, nothing will. Do you know what I mean? So that's, for me, they're basics, but we forget them. We forget them because we go through a relationship where we're like, oh yeah, been together for 5 years, 10 years, 3 years even. It's routine again. Oh, Saturday night, are we booked in? And that's just not sexy. That's not sexy for women because there needs to be that intimate, heartfelt connection. And it's all about the environment as well, because that's a huge part of the experience. So that's where I would go with people. But that is sort of intimacy training in a sense. It's not something I do. It's not part of what I do specifically, but that's certainly something I would look at in that specific circumstance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, great. Thank you for sharing that.
I probably went way off topic there, but whatever.
Yes, that's great advice, and I definitely recommend. Yes, if you're having issues in that area, then you've got to stop, as you say, all of these external things that switch you off of the relationship, because they're not conducive. And another thing that I think really can affect it is where people just start living in separate rooms, and then once the separate rooms happen and then it goes on, it's very difficult to get back that connection. And I think there's something, even though you might just be sleeping next to your partner, there's that sense of coupleness, that sense of togetherness. There's little conversations you have in the morning when you wake up, conversations you have in the night, they are what bring you closer together. And I know that many relationships can start going down a downward spiral when you live in separate rooms, you have separate activities, and that's how it can cause friction. So yeah. So is there anything else you think?
Separate lives. You know, living separate lives. Often we call people our partner. I don't like the word partner, right? Because it means that there's one whole and you've each got a part of it, right? And that's what happens when people are living separate lives, that they become partners and not spouses, right? Spouses is you, us, it's about our spouse together, couple, right? You are one. There are no separate halves. There is a balance here because, okay, so for example, myself, I have to sleep with a sleep apnea machine. It's embarrassing. It's not sexy at all, right? So I tend to just not sleep with it when I've got my partner, and I have to up my fitness really high so I don't have sleep apnea and this type of stuff. Like, I'm not saying, I'm saying people, you still got to have a certain level of mystery. You don't want to, another thing I would do, stop seeing your partner doing chores, going to the toilet, all this type of stuff. That is just not sexy, right? If you think about people when you first see them, you only see that good part of them, right? Mm-hmm. And yes, one day when you're 80 years old or 60 years old, you might have to change your partner's bedpan, and the deep-seated love you've had for 60 years is going to help you do those things and look at them and love them, and really it won't make any difference. But when you're in that like 5, 10, 15, 20 years, the last thing you want to do is see your partner doing things that, you know, the top end stuff that you just don't want to see anyone do, right? You want to think that they don't go to the bathroom. I don't want to even know that my partner goes to the bathroom. And that's not because I'm not a realist about it, right? Mm. It's because it will, or more importantly than me seeing her go, I don't want her to see me go, because I want her to think that I pop out a couple of sugar lumps, right? And that everything's roses. It's true. It's true, right? So there's a balance. There's a balance between familiarity. And in fact, the old expression is that familiarity breeds contempt and mystery breeds moisture in a relationship, right? So true. You need a balance. Yeah, you got to have certain things. You're going to have to do the hard yards for each other at some point. But you do want to, if you've got to a point where there's nothing sexy about your relationship, why would you be surprised that you're not having sex anymore, or that you don't have intimate moments when, like, you know, you get into a hotel room on holiday and the door's open while you're going to the bathroom? That's not going to lead to sex 10 minutes later. Do you know what I mean? So, and in some ways, almost like, unless you're having a shower with candles on, that's another thing you just don't, you know, too much. Seeing people brushing their teeth too much, even this stuff, remove some of that stuff if you're at that point. I don't worry about any of it at the moment, but if I got to that point where I felt like, my partner sees all my worst stuff all the time, I'm asking her to cut my toenails, you know, this type of thing, then yeah, I'd cut that stuff out, because it's not going to help sex life in any way. You want to be the mysterious on your path guy that they are attracted to. And it's the same for women.
Yeah, and I think that you hit on a really good point there, because a lot of men will say to me that they wish their wife would wear nicer underwear and wear nicer clothes, and the women will say, I wish my husband would look nicer in the house. He doesn't have to dress that white. You know, he dresses down for me. Why does he dress down for me? He's in his old paint.
I hate having a beard. I absolutely hate having a beard, but my fiance thinks it's sexy. Well, too bad for me. I'm a pirate from now on. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it is what it is. What do you do? But I do that. I want her to find me sexy. I want her to find me sexy still. And I want that to go on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're really on your path together, and you can do, and also the important, it's all, the other thing is people lose attraction when they just are niggling over little rubbish stuff, right? So if you can eliminate some of that rubbish stuff, that's also going to, like, by proxy help your attraction stuff as well. So,
yeah. Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Is there any work system or anything you would like to share?
Look, I think, I mean, we got through the number one of five, you know, and the reason is because this stuff is really complicated for people. It is not, there's no simple equation for, if I do this one trick, I mean, this is what happens. People come to us, they can't, and you would know this. People come to us and they go, what's the one trick? What's the one trick I can do? Oh, everything's perfect now. No, you're not going to do one trick. You need to go and do, if you are having these problems and you want mastery, within your long-term relationship, go and do a course. Because, and it's not me selling it, I'm not even running a course right now. So I do not care at all for that. Go do a Tony Robbins course, do a Nicola Beer course, do a course where you can go, here's my problems, here's a professional, because what is more important than relationship mastery? There's just nothing more important than it. Happy wife, happy life. And it goes the same way, you know, happy husband, happy life.
Yeah,
it's true. Very true. So that would be my takeaway for people. Look, I'd love to do another one of these on the next topic, because it's so deep what we can do with this. And this is the surface. So if you want real change and you want to be in a passionate relationship, why leave someone you've got so much together with? No, work on it. That's my thing. Work on it. Go and do a course. And you might be thinking, oh, well, you know, it's all structured course sort of stuff. No, actually, it's intimate and deep love and passion that we as professionals bring back into people's relationships. And that's my takeaway for people for today. So, yeah.
Thank you. Well, it's been great having you as a co-host for this topic. I'm looking forward to the next topic.
Yeah, it's been really fun. I think we've done a great job here, and I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, and what we'd really like to say, we're going to be making this a regular thing. We're going to be here to answer your questions. And so if you have any things you're struggling with, if you have any things that you want to ask us that you can't ask anyone else, we are open and we are ready to talk about it. As you've seen from our first episode, we want to make sure that you can ask anything and you can feel comfortable asking anything. So I really hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to your questions. To email your questions in, just email them to nicola@savemymarriageprogram.com, and we look forward to answering them. Ed, I'm not sure if there's anything else you want to add there.
Yeah, or guys, if you've got a question for the next show and you want it like covered, just comment below.
And I forgot to say, if you're struggling in your marriage right now and you want to get some resources, then visit www.savemymarriageprogram.com and go on the free section. There's a tab called free, and underneath that you can get the free ebook, The 7 Secrets to Saving Your Marriage. You can get a free meditation to forgive and let go. You can get a free video, The 10 Keys to Transforming Your Marriage, which is a 40-minute step-by-step guide on how to transform your marriage and what is needed if you are suffering in your relationship and you really want to make it a great one. And then there also is the free quiz, Can My Marriage Be Saved? So go ahead and take advantage of all of these free gifts available for you at www.savemymarriageprogram.com.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free Save My Marriage consultation, please visit www.savemymarriageprogram.com/consult. And if you've enjoyed this episode, Nicola would really appreciate it if you could leave a rating and review on whatever app you're listening through, so the show stays visible, allowing more people to get the support they need to increase their love, passion, and happiness.